Okay, this is a much shorter one. Okay. So where are we? Who knows? We're in Kuf Mem Amud Aleph, right? Okay. So we have a couple of interesting sugyos here, halacha l'maisa. Mishnah, in showing us sechiltis with poshrin. Sechiltis is some sort of a plant placed into... It was very hot. It was a very hot plant, and people would eat it, to relieve themselves of the cold. But it was so hot that they had to soak it. So they would soak it in lukewarm water, and then they would drink the water for refuah purposes. So you shouldn't do something which is mukhlach, that is for refuah purposes. So if it was put into the lukewarm water, into the potion, it would be mukhlach that it was for refuah purposes. But if it was no same as tocha chometz, so somebody would just have food and they would use it as a dip. That was just a regular way of eating, and that wasn't mukhlach, that it's for refuah purposes. So we say that if it's not clearly for refuah purposes, even if something effectuates refuah, but something that even healthy people would eat, so that's considered to be permissible. So that's along the same lines. So then the Gemara here talks about how the Mishnah is a shitas yachid of Rabbi Yossi, but really the shitas chachamim is that ain't shown as a chiltis lo b'chamin v'lo b'tzone, that it not only can't be soaked in warm water, but it can't be soaked in cold water either. What was it used for in order to be soaked so that people would drink the water afterwards? So the maya of delay, the yukra delibo, that was if people had a heavy heart. Some understand this to be people have difficulty breathing. Rashi says, L'yukra deliba shalibo kaveilav, a person who has like an asthmatic condition. So it would take this type of a solution. It was just basically generating medicine that you would dip this plant in water, and that would create a concoction that would be good for asthma. This was before they had inhalers, I suppose. So that's what the people would utilize. So Rav Acha Bar Yosef Chash B'Yukva Deliba, he had this condition. Also, the coming to Mar Ukva, he came in front of Mar Ukva. Amalei Zil Shasi Tlosa Tikli Chiltisa. So he told him you should drink a certain measure of this chiltis. B'Tlosa Yoma, you should do it over a 3-day period. Also, Ishti Chamshav B'Shabbos. So he took it on Thursday. Mali Shabbos, he took it on Friday. He didn't know what to do on Shabbos. Safa Azo Shal B'Medrisha. So they told him, what is the amount, the appropriate amount that one would drink of this? So he said, I'm not asking about drinking it, because Rashi says that labafua mashkehu, even without, even as apparently the way in which he put together this this solution, Rashi understands that it was already a regular beverage. The labafua mashkehu tanan kolamashkin shosa. And you should be allowed to drink any kind of mashke. That's what, so therefore, that's not the question. So what's the question? So the question is, ki kamin ba'ili, I'm asking the question, lishros mahu, is it permissible for me to soak it? So amalahu, in other words, because the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to be showing, you're not allowed to soak it. The soaking is the problem, because then it's mukhak, you're doing it for refuah purposes. So amalahu rav chiyah barav, and didi haba uvda, vasa shilti the ravacha bravad the barava, said, I asked the question of ravad the barava, lo haba biyade, he didn't have an answer, vasa shilti the ravuna, varama haki kama rav, shavar b'soni meniach b'chama, kiman de shari. Says that you're allowed to, in this particular case, you are allowed to, in fact, soak it in cold water, and then you leave it in the sun so it becomes a little bit water. Even if it's normally usur, and even if you're going to be machmir, that's only if you didn't start the medicine. But if you had already started the medicine, so then you're allowed to continue the medicine on Shabbos, because otherwise it would be a sakana not to continue the medicine on Shabbos. I intended to bring down a Mishnah Berurah, but I guess I forgot. Could somebody bring me a Mishnah Berurah here? We don't have. Oh, we have here. Okay, thank you. Okay, so. Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch has this in Sifra, Simon Shinchap Aleph, Sifra Yudches. Ein Shavon is a healthy slow, a potion, a little bit sonin. You can't soak this plant, normally speaking, whether it's warm or whether it's cold water, should definitely shrus lefua, because it normally would be soaked for refuah purposes. But if you had already started beforehand, then you could do it on Shabbos. If you have to continue it on Shabbos, then you're allowed, and Mishnah Berurah points out, even to soak it. Because it's necessary in order for the refuah to be effective that you got to drink it 7 days. How did the Mechaber know 7 days? Our Mishnah, the Gemara indicated that he was told to drink it for 3 days. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's a typo. It's supposed to be Shil Shosha Yom, that the derech is to drink it for 3 days. Because it would be a sakana if he didn't continue it. So this is a question that comes up. Halacha l'maisa, somebody has a medication. They were a chola, and they were entitled to take medicine. If somebody's a chola, shame of sakana, so then they're entitled to take medicine. So what if they've been taking medicine, they're on some sort of an antibiotic treatment, and they've been taking the medicine for a few days, and now they feel much better. They're not a chol hashem bosakana anymore. They presumably today wouldn't have a heter to take medicine. We have a normal issa from taking before on Shabbos, the gezeva shem yitron, yishchok samamanim, that a person is going to crush their herbs. So does the person have a dispensation if they already began to take medication, to continue taking the medication? So from now on, Gemara, it seems like under certain circumstances there would be such a dispensation. So there's a tshuva in the Yigros Moshe in Orach Chaim, Chelek Gimel, Simen Nun Gimel. B'chol she'ein bo sakana she'hischa likach refuah b'chol. Somebody's a chol she'ein bo sakana. The definition is that they're sick. They're just not mortally sick. They're not critically sick, but they can't function normally. And he's given an antibiotic, penicillin, erythromycin, Zithromax, whatever is out there nowadays. And he's told that Zithromax you only have to take for like 5 days, right? But he's told that he has to take it for 10 days. It could happen even if he's only told to take it for 3 days, right? Thursday, Friday, Shabbos is the case of our Gemara. Is there a heter for him to take the medicine even on Shabbos? So you figure from our Gemara, what's the question? It's obvious that the heter to take even on Shabbos. So Moshe says, what's the question? It's obvious that it's also. So there's a short tshuva here by Rav Moshe, in which Rav Moshe says he thinks in most of the cases it's problematic. Says if a chol hashem bo sakana, ba'ofen she'asu lo likach refuah b'shabbos, v'hischa lekachas b'chol kadurei refuah, he was taking pills already during the week. Yes.
So the problem I think a lot of doctors have is that if you're taking antibiotics or something like that, and you start and you don't finish with the antibiotics, it can create problems for you, because then your body's going to be able to fight against the antibiotics. It's going to be able to. It doesn't completely get rid of it. It allows the sickness. Right, exactly. It allows the sickness to overcome the antibiotics.
You don't want to open up a window that's going to allow the sickness to fight against the antibiotic.
Right. So it's even a preventative thing for future sickness.
No, it's not even that. It's just that the treatment's not done until you finish all. Even if you're feeling better, it doesn't mean that you're done with the treatment.
Right, but it's aim bo sakana. So that's the case. But yet, there's a preventative aspect to it also. If you don't finish the process, the whole 5 days or 10 days, then you might end up becoming sicker.
So maybe it depends on what the doctors say, how serious it is, how necessary it is to take it after a few days. You never had the experience where you're on antibiotics and after a couple of days you're feeling better, so you just said, it's okay, I don't have to finish taking it. You ever have that happen? It's probably not. It's wise from a patient perspective, right? So you figure, it's okay, you know, so you forget about it, but maybe that's not a good thing. Maybe you, even if you're feeling 100% better, you should take it anyway. Let's see what he says. So he says, Shaniku pillin, they're called pills, apparently. Shitzarek likam, the dibe aerope. So he says, well, let's say you asked the doctor, and the doctor said, hey, I said Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, you got to take it 3 days. In his case, he said, the doctor said, you got to take it 10 days. It might extend over 2 Shabbos, so take it 10 days, right? Meshach asar yom ritzupin. Bimyavsik yom echad lo tipol arafu akum. If you stop it for 1 day, then the medicine's not going to be effective at all. Tipol akum. Imutal likach b'Shabbos. So he says, Hine lechayva lamugan sad sopik aheta b'zeh. I don't understand the sopik. Ela du'ulay mitzad hefseidu agadu b'chol izeh shal yuchal le'irafi b'derach hateva mitzad b'yote b'shil zeh. Shalchein ula yischa sheiv kimichus shemitzad tuva shnitzka b'ramah simen shinkov chesif yud zayin. So he said, well, maybe the reason to be makel is because the person's under such tremendous tsar. Well, ha'ina ta mitzad atzar mishim t'nesh nechva kogupo. Mitzad atzar makwa shena yachol ispal atzar. Says that maybe the time for the heter is because not because the person is taking something because they have so much tsar, but because their whole body is going to get sick if they don't take something below mitzad sabi amash mitzad mashli srape, not just based on the fact that a person's feeling bad that they're not going to get fully better. Afshezel leinish tsar gadol, even though this is a big tsar in lahatir, that's not a reason to be makel. So Moshe says, that's not a reason. So the fact that he's not going to get completely better right now, he's not sick, that's not a reason to be makel. That's right. I don't know. So he quotes the Mishnah Berurah. He quotes the Ramah in Siman Shin Chav Chesif Yizayin, where the Ramah allows taking something because of great tsar, but he says it's not because of the tsar, it's because the person's going to get sick. So he says, what's the Ramah over there? The Ramah says that... The Shulchan Aruch is defining a chol shein bo sakana. Chol shein apol machmas chayu the mishkav. So a chol who has becomes bedridden vein bo sakana. So he's defining this a chol shein bo sakuna. So chol shein bo sakana, and you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do refuah for such a person, and this is the sort of person that we allow to take refuah, etc., etc. So the Ramah adds, even if he didn't, he's not bedridden, or sheyesh lamecho shemitzar b'chol imenu kugufo, sheyaz ha'ap b'shahol ekenap on the mishkav dami. So the Ramah expands the definition of chol shein bo sakana and says it's not only somebody who's bedridden, but somebody who basically is non-functional or not able to function normally because of the fact that he's chol kugufo, because his whole body feels sick. So even such a person would be allowed to take refuah. So if Moshe says, yeah, such a person would be allowed to take refuah because otherwise he's chol kogufo. He's going to be mishum shenechla kogufo. But the mere fact that somebody's going to have tsar, that they don't take a pill because they feel bad, that at the end of the 10 days, they're really not going to get completely better. So that's not a heter. He doesn't quote our Gemara at all. He says he doesn't think that's a heter. Such an incredible tshuva. Then he goes on to say, okay, so I can't find the heter on that basis, but b'imhu ish kazeh shemachma shali swape behapilin, if he's the type of guy who, because he was told, he's so neurotic that his doctor told him that he has to take these pills, oh yeah, I got to take the pills, sorry if I saw yom ritzupin, sheyav shavlo shikach kam b'shabbos, and the doctor said, you got to take it on Shabbos, and the guy is obsessive, compulsive, neurotic, he's not going to take his pill, he's going to just get very depressed. So because the doctor told him he's not going to get better, maybe Rav Moshe is not trusting the doctor, he says, because the doctor said that he's not going to get better, So he's going to have some sort of an internal neurosis, shikorin nervin, that he's going to be nervous, sheikh shash la machla, shenikra, nervin breakdown, that he's going to have that machla known as the nervous breakdown, that he can't take his medicine. He's saying, I'm not taking my medicine. The doctor said, I'm not going to get better. I can't take my medicine. What's going to be with me? So then he says, okay, fine. If the guy's going to have a nervous breakdown because he doesn't take his pills, so then we'll allow him to take his pills. Then you know what? I'll let him take his pill over the full 10-day period, even though he's feeling much better already. But he should take it, says Moshe, b'shino iktsas. I don't know how you take a pill, b'shino iktsas. He says, yeah, whatever shino you're able to make in the way that you swallow the pill. You'll swallow them with a little bit of a shinoi. you'll throw it in the air and catch it in your mouth or something. Actually, shayach shinoi behavla, even though there's no real shinoi in the way that you swallow, right? Because there are only so many different ways you could swallow a pill, right? So that's basically the way that he concludes that maybe in such a situation, that's the way that you would deal with it. So how come he doesn't quote? How come he doesn't quote our Gemara? I don't know. Then he concludes by saying, that maybe if it you could do it without a shinoi, if you can't do it with a shinoi, then you could do it even without a shinoi. But it's not bound. So many people are going to have a nervous breakdown if they don't take the pill. So therefore, he thinks that stam people wouldn't be allowed to take it. That's what Ramosha writes. So let's take a look at the Shmur Shabbos Kilva. So, yeah.
Maybe he thinks that our Gemara is only because it says that he might be mistaken.
Happy Pashtus, that's the question. In other words, but what's going on in Rav Moshe's case? In Rav Moshe's case, he writes in the Tshuva that the doctor says that the refuah is not going to work at all. We're talking about a Kol HaShem Bo Sakana, and the doctor says, Miyasek Yomecha Lo Tifol HaRefuah Klum. Lo Tifol HaRefuah Klum sounds like he's not going to get better. So Rav Moshe seems to be saying, well, right now, he's not a Kol HaShem Bo Sakana. And the only side of the heter is that he's going to be mitzdayer over the fact that he's not going to be much better. And he's never going to be in a real sakana. So Ramosh seems to be understanding, without quoting our Gemara, that our Gemara would only be pertinent if, as a result of not taking the pill, the person would be in a real sakana. So you would need one of two heterim. Either the person today is a kol hashem bo sakana, because he's a kol hagufa, or he's not for the mishka. And today, the guy's already been taking the antibiotic for a couple of days, and he's feeling much better, so he's not in either category. Or, if in the future, he's going to be b'sakana as a result of not taking this. But he's not going to be b'sakana. At best, he'll be a kol hashem bo sakana once again. Maybe at the end of a week or so, his cold or his whatever he has will come back. But he won't be a kol hashem bo sakana, so therefore, there's no heter. In the Shmir Shabbos Kilcha, so he talks about this in Perek Lamed Dalet. Perek Lamed Dalet, Sif Yud Zayin, says, Mi shechaya val pi pekuda sarofe, somebody who, because of the direction of the doctor, is obligated lakachas trufos v'meshe kamash yamim mitzufim, obligated to take medicine for many days in a row, v'shabbos b'neim, and includes a Shabbos. So he quotes that there are mekilim. So he quotes from the Sefer Imre Yosher, quoting the Chazon Ish. You find it apparently in the Chazon Ish, but somebody quotes from the Chazon Ish as saying that there's room to be mekel. Not only that, but he says, okay, mutar adam lahamshich ba'achilas trufos, a person can continue to take pills, gam acharation is rapi, even though he already feels better, kadesh lo yachala ot, so that he won't get sick once again. So that seems to be according to the svara that we mentioned over here. So what is the basis for his being mekel? So he says like this. He says hold on. V'shamati me'agon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, derakim ha'afsaka tigrom lo nezik, only in the event that when he stops taking the medicine, it's going to cause him a nezik, o she'arefuah hidapka mispar yamim mitzupim ha'shem mukhak li'o Shabbos b'neim. Or the refuah is for a certain number of days where it is impossible for him to get better if he doesn't take it on Shabbos as well, ki az yesh lahakil. So when I saw this sort of codified in the Lamites Malachos book by Rabbi Ribiat, so he says, for example, if the person has a bacterial infection, well, isn't that going to be most of the cases, right, where the person is taking medicine for a number of days? It's because they have a bacterial infection. They always tell you, if it's a virus, then they don't give you antibiotics anymore, right, because they say it weakens your immune system if you take too many antibiotics. The virus would just go away by itself. Only if it's a bacterial infection do they give it to you. So he says if it's a bacterial infection, so then the person is it's going to cause the person a nezek, or they're not going to have a refuah. Then he says, v'kachi b'sheilos t'chuva zigvas moshe, v'chayim chelikim osimin un gimel. It's not true, though. If you look in the Igvas Moshe, he seems to say not so. He seems to say that it would only be in the event that the person is a chola kol aguf right now, such that he's about to have a nervous breakdown over Shabbos, so that's the same as being cholik or laguf, or it seems if it would lead to a sakana mamish. So that's a question. The question is, how do you define sakana mamish? So then he quotes the Rambam in Perech Kofal Milcha Shabbos Halacha Chabes, dealing with our sugya. So let's take a look at the Rambam for a second. The Rambam. Says like this, Ochel Adam, Ochlin Umashkin Shaderach Avriyim Laochlin, Lishtosan Kigon, Hakaspa, Rakashis, Reza, Vapishem, Rapin. You could eat normal foods, even though they're going to make you feel better. But Ochlin Kadeli Strapos, Bemin, you're eating them for a fool. Mutohobahim Achali Briyim, as we mentioned, that's basically the idea of being Topel, the Chiltis Bechomets. Shasa Chiltis Mikodem Ashabis. If you drank the chiltis before Shabbos, where he shows the holik, mutl lishtosa b'Shabbos, ba'filu b'mkoma shelo nagu abriim lishtosa chiltis. So he says, even chiltis, which according to the Gemara seems to be something that people, they would only soak for refuah, but they would drink it, even as Rashi says, even if they were not sick, but even if it's in a place where only the cholim take this chiltis, that it's mamish like a medication, if you began it on Thursday and Friday, so then you're allowed to continue it on Shabbos as well. So from the he's medayik from at least the Rambam that the Rambam from the fact that he codifies it in this particular way that the Rambam is indicating that this would be permissible basically even though it's for refuah purposes because the person needs to complete their medication. And the Rambam says that even explicitly without using the lashon of sakana in Perech of Beis Halacha Zayin, where the Rambam says in Shomenes Achiltis Bein Mepolshin Bein Mitzonin Vashora Oso B'Socha Chometz V'im Shaseu B'Yom Chamishi V'Shishi. If you drank it on Thursday and Friday, Hareis Ashora B'Shabbos Mitzonin. That's the Gemara. Manicho B'Chama Chiecham B'Shose. Then the Rambam adds, what's the reason that it becomes permissible? Kidei Shal Yechalein Pasuk Milishto, so that he doesn't become sick again if he would stop drinking it. So the Rambam doesn't use the lashon that we have in our Gemara. Our girsa is Kadesh Yistaking, which sounds like it's going to cause a sakana mamish, but the Rambam uses the lashon of Kadesh Yechala. So if you understand that the concern is simply Kadesh Yechala, then even if the person is not a chola right now, and even if it's not going to lead to a sakana, but it's not going to lead to a full refuah from the choli from which he started taking the medicine, then that would also be a basis for continuing to take the medicine on Shabbos. So the distinction that the Shmir Shabbos Kehilkosa draws is between a case where a person is mamash going to get sick if they stop taking the medicine, as opposed to where it would be michushim, where a person would just feel a little bit out of sorts, but they're not going to become sick again. So I would imagine that in most cases where a person is on some sort of a regimen from a doctor, based on the fact that they had been sick and they're required to take the pill every single day, that the concern would probably be not only that they're going to have a mechush be'alma, that they're going to be a little bit out of sorts if they don't take the medicine on Shabbos, but that they actually might get sick again. So if we assume, like the Gersa of the Rambam, if we assume like this distinction, which is drawn the Shmir Shabbos Gilkosa, that any concern that the person is going to get sick again, even if they wouldn't actually get sick on Shabbos itself, would be a justification for continuing to take the medicine, it would seem that in most cases in which there is this situation where a person had been sick and they were given pills to take over a prescribed period of time, it would seem that there would be a heter to take the pills on Shabbos. But the tshuva by Rav Moshe is very interesting. Yeah. Go ahead. Oh, yeah.
If someone's not a chola at all, not the sakana, not anything, wouldn't you say that if they're taking it, it's not, there's no refu at all, it's a preventative type of thing. I think we saw something a couple daven ago with something else, with some type of bandage or something, that if the answer was that because it was used as a preventative of something happening.
That's the second line in the Shmiras Shabbos Gilgasa, that let's say the person already took it enough days that they're completely better, let's say that they were supposed to take it, if you're supposed to take it for 10 days, it could be you're cured in 7 days, and the last 3 days that you take it are really more for preventative purposes, or maybe you're supposed to take it for 10 days to cure the refuah, and then you're told to continue to take this medicine for another year, so that it won't happen again. So he seems to say that even that would be okay. And he brings the raya from this case that you just mentioned, actually, of the bandage. Maka shinisrapa. If you have a maka, this is a Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Chav Ches Siv Chav Zayin, and it's based on the Yerushalmi, actually. If you have a maka that was healed, Nosin Ale Ritia, even though it's completely healed, we spoke about the last week about the permission to put a Band-Aid on it, so that a maka that will not be aggravated by being touched, so you protect it with a Band-Aid. So he says that that's not only the case when the wound is raw and new, but even when the wound has healed, she'enu ela kimishama, that even afterwards, it's not for refuah purposes, it's for purposes of being shomer, to make sure that it not get worse. So the Mishnah Berurah there, in Sivkaton, our Pei Bav, says kimishama, and we're not worried that the person is going to crush herbs for refuah purposes on Shabbos, because of the fact that there's less of a feeling of urgency and nervousness after the refuah has taken place. This is an additional svara to be made. One could say that once the person has gotten, you know, completely better, it's actually even more of a svara in this particular case to be meko, because since the whole gezeira of refuah is mishim shchikas samamon in here, there's less reason to be worried about that gezeira.
I was wondering if you could extend that to something like vitamins or like a lactate or whatever they're called. If people who are lactose intolerant take these pills to prevent, if they were to eat anything that's dairy, would prevent them from getting sick.
It might not even be a full carrier.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it would be even a even better svara than saying that it's anything else, they're not, it's not
refuah. Right, that might not be a refuah at all. Ramosha also has a very long tshuva in which he discusses vitamins, the possibility of taking, you know, vitamins in Shabbos. So he says that people just take vitamins, not because it turns them from some wimpy person into Superman or something like that, but it's just that even healthy people eat vitamins so that they'll not be quite as weak. They'll be in somewhat better shape, but it doesn't affect a complete, you know, transformation where, like, you know, the Shazam symbol, you know, appears, you know, on their shirt after they take it or something. So then he says he thinks that's okay under those circumstances.
Because
we're
not worried about shchikas.
Because that's not a refuah, because you're not taking a refuah. It's not taken, like, for purposes of getting better from being sick under those circumstances. If something that's only taken by somebody who is particularly sick, then that could be a problem. But if it's something that healthy people take all the time, so he thought that might that was then there could be a justification for it. Yes.
What's the halacha by allergy medications?
So the truth is that the our Gemara seemed to be talking about that type of a thing, right? The our Gemara was talking about somebody who had like some sort of a yikar deliba. That sounds like almost like a little bit of an allergy, right? Mm-hmm. So the question is then as well, is the person able to function normally, or is the allergy such, or this is sort of a high pollen season where the allergic problem is such that the person would either be bedridden or they wouldn't be able to function normally. So if it's a case where they basically wouldn't even be able to function normally, so then there could be a justification for allergy medication on Shabbos. All right, so just quickly on Daf Kuf Mem Amud Beis, Amar Rav, this is about five lines down, on Kuf Mem Amud Beis, Amar Rav, Hai Talya de Bisra, Shari de Taltulu de Kavi Asir. And if I have a kind of a hook on which Rashi says it's talking about actual meat. Rashi says if I have Basa Maliach that's hanging to be dried, so then that you're allowed to carry because it's edible even in its raw form, but not if it's fish, because, you know, who would eat raw fish? I mean, you know, how crazy can you be, right? So Asir, so that would be prohibited. So Tosus has a different shot. Tosus on Daf Kuf Lamed. The Tosus is not printed here. It's printed on Daf Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis at the bottom of the Daf. they fit in a Tosos. It wasn't even, it's unusual, because the Tosos isn't even for the next Amud. It's for the next blot altogether. So Tosos that belongs on Kuf Mem Amud Beis, and it's all the way in the bottom of Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. So Tosos over there says that the reason that we're not talking about the actual meat, but he quotes the Perusha Aruch, the Mishim Tala Nakte. We're talking about the hook itself. Even if the hook doesn't currently have meat or fish on it, it's just a hook. The hook is like a pretty yucky hook because it normally has raw fish or raw meat that hang on it. So what's the reason for the distinction? If it's a hook on which meat is kept, so that doesn't get all disgusting. So that you're allowed to carry. But if it's a hook of fish, that gets all disgusting and yucky. And mice, and therefore it becomes mus. And because of the fact that it is muktzamach mesmias, that's the reason why it's aser. So la halacha in the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Yud, this is one of the cases where there's an afkamina in Hilchos Muktzah, whether you're passing like Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon, who says there's no muktzah, and Rabbi Yehuda says there is such a thing as muktzah. So there are certain areas of halacha where Taka we say there's no such thing as muktzah based on Rabbi Shimon. One is if you have tamarim laotza, where you have food that's set aside for storage, but it's basically edible. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, you can use that food, and that's how we paskin. So, another case where there's a halacha b'maisa ramification clearly to holding like Rabbi Shimon is with respect to this halacha, namely muktzamach mesmius, that we paskin that there's no. We seem to paskin that there is no such thing as muktzamach mesmius, that something that does not become muktzah simply because it's yucky. As long as you can use it for something, we say that if it's yucky, if it's disgusting, if it's repulsive, that doesn't actually cause it to be muktzah. So, eight shetolin bodogim, afal pishu mos. This is sif alef and simen shenyun in the Shulchan Aruch. If you have a stick on which you hang fish, afal pishu mos, even though it's very yucky and disgusting, Mutter l'taltalo, you're allowed to carry it, you're allowed to move it. It's kaim alam, b'muktza machmas mius ka Rabbi Shimon d'shari. Because we paskin, like Rabbi Shimon, that there's no problem of muktza machmas mius. So that's a big chiddush. So the Prima Gadim has a sopik as to whether when we say that the muktza machmas mius is mutter to carry, whether that's only like a muktza, a klisha malakta l'isser, that you can carry it, letzorach gufo, if you need it for some purpose, or letzorach mekomo, you need the makom that it's in, or afilo mechama letzel, or even if you need it in order to preserve the item itself. So he's not there. So he leaves that as kind of a little bit of a topic, whether we would say that mukta machmas mius is mutter, even if it's mechama letzel. But it appears that this topic is really more applicable when we're dealing with an item that's essentially a klisha malachta l'isser, meaning that I might have a muktza machmas mius, which is also klisha malachta l'isser. That's what we're talking about in Simon Reish Ayin Tes. This is at the end of Reish Ayin Tes, the Shulchan Aruch talks about the classical case of ner shidliko, ner shelo idliko bo b'osa Shabbos. I have a candle that was not to use that particular Shabbos, but it's normally used for isser purposes. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simon Reish Ayin Tes above, even if it is cheres de mois, even if it is made out of earthenware, which is all disgusting, even if it's made out of naphtha material, which is putrid, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, the muktzamach mesmius is mutter. So here too, the Be'er Halacha brings this question of the Prima Gadim, and says the Prima Gadim says that he thinks it's a machlokis rishonim, as to whether we would say that it is mutter to carry only the tzorach gufo mekomo, or whether it's mutter to carry even mechama letzel. So it's certainly understood in the case the case of the ner, which is used for lighting candles, that you could say that even if there's no such thing as muktzamach mesmius, we do hold that there's such a thing as klisha malachta l'isser. So say, yeah, you can move it mitzah muktzamach mesmius, but because it's a klisha malachta l'isser, therefore you can only move it the tzorach gufo mekomo. But if it's something which is a klisha malachta l'heder, so then if we don't hold by muktzamach mesmius, you should be able to carry that all together. So that's what the Eliyahu Rabbah says. The Eliyahu Rabbah says like that. The Eliyahu Rabbah says that if, for example, this candle was not a klishim lakto le'isser, because it was never actually lit ever, and therefore was never used for Issa purposes. So it's just a stam, an item that can be utilized for whatever useful purpose you might have in mind. So then it would be a klishim lakta leheter, and then you would be a mutta letato lo shali pasid lo shali ganev, and then you would be allowed to move it for all purposes, even so that it not get lost, and even that it not get stolen. So there's a big chiddush in the reisha ayin tes, in the Be'er Halacha. So there's a big chiddush in the Shmira Shabbos Kehilchasa, that he just kind of has a throwaway line with respect to Mukta Machmas Mius that I wanted to share, and we'll end with that for today. Let me just, I don't remember offhand where it was, so let me just look it up. I think it's in Perichov Beis. It's in Perichov Beis, maybe Sif Mem Beis. So let me just turn to that for a moment. So he says as follows. He says, with respect to Mukta Machmas Mius, Davamos, if you have something which is repulsive, Hamaorei Goel, it causes people to say, ach, yach, yach, kigon soa, like soa, and soas vatsamos, kam edo she'edon ruyos machab ema, achber, or ochatul meis, so if you have like a dead rat or a dead cat, you know, things that people say, yach, yiki. O kol davar metuna panimsa b'shabes, b'makom shebo mafriya sa'adam. So this is the din of graf sharei. If it's something which is really yucky, and it's bothering people, like dirty diapers. So people will choshim ne'adam ofrim, or shemagim imenu reach rav la'adam and imtza v'sviva, afo pisha muktzahu, even though it's muktza, he writes, muta lifinoso, you're allowed to clear it away, apilu biyadu la'ashvu l'beis akise, to a garbage, to a toilet, v'hu nikra, fi chazal graf sharei, and that's what chazal talk about, the special heter of graf sharei. So he threw in a line, which he said, afo pisha muktzahu. So he has to justify that line. So he says, "V'after lo kaimel on b'shabes muktza machmas mius." Even though we don't have a concept of muktza machmas mius, we just got through quoting from our Gemara, the Tosfos's understanding of our Gemara based on the Aruch and the Shulchan Aruch. It says that since it's based on muktza machmas mius, that's why you're allowed to carry this hook on which the meat is hung and so forth. "V'after lo kaimel on b'shabes muktza machmas mius," k'simin shin sif aleph, which we read. He says that's only if you have the ability to utilize it for some purpose. But if it doesn't have any kind of utilization whatsoever, then we do hold that it does become muksa based on muksa machmas mius. This could have a limited application, muksa machmas mius. So what are you all going to say in response? No, just like something that's not muksa machmas mius might have limitations because it's still a klisha malakta lisa, like in the case of the nair. So something that's not muksa machmas mius might have certain limitations if it happens to be a muksa machmas gufo. But that's not necessarily because it's muksa machmas mius. I might say that I can't carry it anyway because it has no utility. If something has no utility, it doesn't matter whether it's not going to be better because it's mos. So something has no utility, we say you can't use it because it's muksa machmas gufo. So he says, no, but if it has no utility, then you have to steal muksa machmas mius. And then, so you have to stop for a second because he's aware of this point as well. So he doesn't mean that it is only utzer because that we now create a new issa muksa machmas mius. No, inachinami muksa machmas mius is still mutter. However, the fact that we're magdir it as muksa machmas mius actually gives it a leg up in one particular way over muksa machmas gufo. You say, why is something better? Just because it's more putrid? Or just because it's more yucky? So we say it becomes better than your typical case of muksa machmas gufo because then you have a special heter of what? Of graf sharei. That if it's particularly bothering you or disturbing your own Shabbos because it's so smelly, because it's so disgusting, then so then you have a special dispensation to be able to carry it because it is a graf sharei. So then, basically, you have this gather of muksa machmas mius in a case where something is not royu l'klum, and because of the fact that you have been magdir, it is muksa machmas mius as opposed to muksa machmas gufo, that actually triggers a separate heter of Graksha Rei, which enables you to be able to move it away anyway in order to protect yourself from the foul odor and from this disturbing fumes that emanate from this rather disgusting object. So, bottom line, halacha lemaisa, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon that there's no issa muktzah machmas mius per se. There is a suffix in the Prima Godim whether something which is muktzah machmas mius, even if it's essentially a klisha malakta leheter, is only mutter letzara gufo or mekomo or even mekama letzel. The Eliyahu Rabba assumes that if it's klisha malakta leheter, you can move it even to protect itself, even mekama letzel. But if it also happens to be a klisha malachto leisser, then for sure the limitation should be that it's only mutzer to carry the tzorah gufo mekomo. And if it has no utilization whatsoever, in which case it would otherwise be a muktzah machmas gufo, then we say, yes, in achinami, you're not allowed to move it at all. But because of the fact that it's a mos, then you actually have a benefit that you're allowed to move it when it's really disturbing you based on the heter graksha rei. Okay, stop here.